Tonight we're going to speak on the second chapter of James, and as I have on the board, we'll look at verses 1 through 13. James began by saying, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In the first century AD, there were polarizing conditions that governed society. People were either rich or poor, they were slaves or free, Jew or Gentile, Greek or barbarian. However, part of the good news of the gospel was that in Christ Jesus, these kind of social barriers lost much of their strength. As Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And again, when he wrote to our Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." But it took a while for this truth to sink into the hearts of those who were Christians. Even the Apostle Peter had to be told this truth through a vision, and then a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit recorded in Acts chapter 10 with the centurion Cornelius and his household. From the second chapter of this letter that James wrote, it is apparent that showing partiality or respect of persons was still being practiced, and its sinfulness still needed to be pointed out. Because the sin of partiality is still prevalent in some forms today, we want to examine what James has to say on this subject. So first we'll consider the sin itself, the sin of partiality. In James' day, he gave an example. We know from other scriptures that Jewish Christians often showed partiality in regards to the Gentiles when they were becoming Christians as well. But James gave an example, a different example. He said in his letter that the problem was one of showing partiality between the rich and the poor. We read in James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, "For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts." Today, we can also be guilty of this kind of partiality. We can do it by showing partiality between the rich and poor. For example, giving preferential treatment to visitors in different types of clothing at our assemblies. Or showing hospitality towards maybe our rich friends, while ignoring those who are poor. And even sometimes it's the poor who despise the rich. By showing partiality between people of different races, which still happens today. Again, this can go both ways. And even by showing partiality between our friends and the visitors that come to our services. Sadly, the sin of partiality, favoritism, being biased, prejudiced, and racist, is probably just as prevalent, maybe more so, than it was in the days when James wrote this letter. This makes the words of James very relevant and worth our consideration today. So, as James goes through these few verses, there is one main theme we want to focus on, and that is why Christians can't show partiality. In verse 1, James recorded, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory," with respect to persons. He described Jesus as the Lord of glory. Some translations translate this as the glorious Lord, describing Jesus as glorious, our Lord of glory. It's possible that by pointing this out and making this emphasis, that James was implying that we cannot show partiality, just in this simple phrase, the Lord of glory. What does our partiality have to do with the Lord of glory? As Christians, we profess to be Christ's disciples or followers whose goal is to imitate him. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, the scriptures record, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or complete shall be as his master." As such, our actions are likely to be considered by others as a mirror and reflection of what Christ teaches. If we show partiality as Christians, we leave the impression that Jesus himself is partial, is prejudiced, has favoritism, is biased, or racist. Therefore, if we are not careful, the glory of the Lord, our glorious Lord, can be tainted by our partiality. In verse 4, we read, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" So another reason why a Christian cannot show partiality is because James said by doing so, we become judges. Not just judges, but judges with evil thoughts. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, it's recorded that God hates unjust judges. Jesus himself warned about this. In Matthew 7, verse 1, the dangers of judging are brought out when Jesus said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." This is Jesus' warning. In John chapter 7, verse 24, he explained that we need to make righteous judgment if we're going to judge. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." If we judge against the poor due to our prejudice against them, we will find ourselves fighting against God himself. In Psalm 109, verse 31, it's recorded, "For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul." We become judges with evil thoughts. Another reason is given in verse 5. For why we as Christians cannot show partiality. In verse 5, James said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Both then and today, the answer to that is yes. The poor are not excluded from being in this world rich in faith and being heirs of the kingdom. They have that promise as well. God has chosen also to honor the poor. The gospel was proclaimed to the poor. We can read in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised." All wonderful miracles, awesome miracles. To the poor, the gospel is preached. It's amazing that Jesus said that at the end of the midst of all these miracles. What a miracle it is that the gospel is preached to all men, even to the poor. The majority of those who responded were from among the poor originally. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 29 through 29, Paul brings this out. He says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Both then and today, God has chosen to honor all men with the saving gospel. In Acts chapter 10, we spoke of this before, where Peter had gone to Cornelius. In verse 34 through 35, from Peter's own mouth, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Therefore, if we show partiality because of a person's race, or their status, or because of what they look like, or because they are a stranger we don't know, then we despise those whom God has honored by his offering to them salvation through the gospel." Now on to verses 6 and 7. "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" And so another reason James gives for why Christians cannot show partiality is that if we do so, especially in the example that James gave, then we honor those most capable and likely of oppressing us. The rich were doing this to Christians in James' day. Who are the ones most likely to oppress Christians today? If it ever came down to the push and shove, it would be those who have the resources to do so, and most likely, they would be in the majority and they'd be the affluent. In our country, those who are in the minority can easily become the majority. That's the way the country was set up. They can do it through their voice. They can do it through their actions. Now, I'm not saying that this voice and actions are godly in their aspects, but they can do it. And so, if we honor certain types of people over others, then we could be honoring those who offer oppression to God's people. Verses 8 through 11. James wrote, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Another reason James gives us that we can't show partiality is by doing so, we break the royal law, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is one of the most fundamental and foundational principles and laws that God has ever given. Christ proclaimed it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Christ was asked. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Also Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. He advised, Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or understood in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And as emphasized by James, by breaking one law, we become guilty of all the law. To show partiality is to make one as guilty as if they committed adultery or murder. And this illustrates just how terrible this sin of partiality really is. Finally, verses 12 through 13, James records, So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. As Christians, we cannot show partiality because we will one day be judged by the law of liberty. This refers to the law of Christ, the gospel, the New Testament. A law that has set us free from the bondage of sin through the mercy shown in Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36 reads, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever, or abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, we find that it is a law that sets us free also from man-made restrictions. Verse 20, Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So if we apply man-made restrictions upon others, like what comes from showing partiality, and we do not show mercy toward others, then no mercy will be shown toward us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So in view of all these things that James has written to us tonight, we can understand why he would write, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, or hold that faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Don't do it. It does not belong with our faith in our Lord. We can also better understand Peter's reasoning in Acts chapter 11 and verse 17 after that conversion of Cornelius' household about why he had to accept the Gentiles into the fold of God. He said, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" What are we if we try to withstand God in this sin? And finally, in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Christ received us in all of our pitiful circumstances, in all of our dirty sin. Christ received us. God is not a respecter of persons. And James would warn us as well to fight against the sin of partiality. We serve a glorious God. We serve to do things to His glory. May we never allow the sin of partiality, bias, prejudice, racism, favoritism, any of that sort, to taint that wonderful glory in our Lord and in our God in any way. This is our lesson tonight. If you are subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing a song of invitation.